Shall I start from the beginning?
I'm so sorry. No. I mean, as you see fit.
Don't be a chicken. Right, the beginning of that tape. No. So the miracle question is like the markings on the road to keep you on track so that in your conversation with someone, you know where you're going. Because when you're in conversation with people, it's amazing. You know you've got to go this way. But then someone in the conversation throws in something which takes you like off there, that way. It's like there's an obstacle in the road. They throw something in a road and you suddenly swerve and you find yourself going in that direction or that direction. And unless you know where you're going, you're going to find yourself so far away from your destination, there's no way you're going to bring that conversation back. That makes sense?
Yes. Yeah.
The gospel is the vehicle. The Holy Spirit is the one who steers. Right? So we need the Holy Spirit to steer the conversation. You need to learn how the Holy Spirit is going to help you. And it's so much fun. How many of you can drive? Hands up. How many of you remember your first driving lesson? Was it great? Did you just hop in the car? I'm not talking about an automatic, but, you know, like the manual. You hopped in the car, start the car, and off you went. And the instructor was telling you, and off you went. And it was brilliant. You were going like that. And you know, just, no problem.
No,
it wasn't like that? No? So you went in the car, you sat in it, and you think, mirrors. You know, you've got all these controls. What does that do? You've got three pedals down. What are they for? And this thing here, the sticks, what's that? And it's like you have to multitask and you think, how am I ever going to do this? And then the instructor's telling you to start driving. You go, what? You know, and there's so much. And then you start the car and then you start doing things like the kangaroo move. Do you remember the kangaroo? And then you stalled the car. And those of you remember stalling the car on a hill. And it's like sheer panic. Sheer panic. And how do I start the car when it's on a hill? It's like sheer panic. It's like, oh, Lord, am I ever going to learn how to drive? I'm thinking about so many things and the mirrors and the controls and everything else. And then I've got to stay on the road, on track. No, look what you're going. But now you hop in a car, you don't even think about it. I hope you do think when you drive. But now you can enjoy the drive. Well, learning the miracle question is just like driving. You got it. And practice makes perfect. Okay? Because it's learning, and sometimes it feels a bit awkward. But you'll start, because you're learning how to drive, you know exactly what I mean. So I taught the miracle question. I was in America somewhere. I was in Champaign in Illinois. Hey, the pastor of this church in Champaign, his name is Happy. Can you imagine having the name of pastor as Happy in a city called Champaign? It's amazing. And while I was there, I taught the miracle question. And there was a lawyer from Birmingham, Alabama, who took the teaching and he learned the miracle question. And he has been leading so many people to Jesus. He just loves it. And he was like, you know, and honestly, when I was with him, it was no joke. He was leading waitresses to Jesus. Everywhere he went, he was leading people. It was a trail of people everywhere he went. He was leading people to Jesus. This is the most amazing thing. And you know, when he was trying to, he's been trying for 19 years before this to lead his brother to Jesus. His brother wasn't interested. And I was going over to his church in Alabama to teach healing on the streets. And so the leader of the church said to Tom, would you mind, you know, before Mark comes, would you mind speaking on Sunday, preparing the way for him? I said, Tom, so what do you want me to speak on? He said, well, to speak on anything. He said, well, I'm going to teach what Mark taught me, the miracle question. I'm going to just share what my journey and what in this and you know, everything that's been happening. And in preparation for Mark's visit. Now, his brother, on a Sunday, goes to play golf. Golf is his religion.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Golf is his religion.
It's a big one.
But his brother heard that Tom was going to be speaking in church on a Sunday. And lo and behold, he turned up. And Tom is sharing the miracle question. He's going through it every step of the way of the miracle question. And he's sharing stories, but he's actually doing the miracle question. He comes to the end where he shares the gospel and says, now, if you want to receive Christ, please stand. This is all being recorded. Right, this is recorded. And then Tom sees his brother stand to receive Christ. And you hear him choke up. He says, guys, I need some help here, please. And so some of the others gather around his brother. They lead him to Jesus. Absolutely beautiful. So the miracle question is great. You can use it anywhere. Absolutely anywhere. I've used it in restaurants. You can use it with healing on the streets as well. It's really good. So I was in a town in England. I can't remember which one it was. And I see three men in their early 30s walking towards me. And so as they're coming close, I notice one of them is on a crutch and he's finding it difficult to walk. He's obviously in some difficulty. So as they approach me, I just smile and I walk towards them. And do you know, the approach is like, anyone ever been lost? You're driving, you're lost, and you go to ask somebody for directions. How many have asked people for directions? So all the women put their hands up, the men go, I always know where I'm going. It's always the women who put their hands up. So the approach, when you approach someone, it's like, you know when you're going to ask somebody for directions?
Yeah.
And it's like that, but you don't look scary, because if you look scary, you can, you know, so if you look intimidating, you could have a bad reaction. People just want to run from you. So I smile. And they're coming and I smile. I say, excuse me, could I ask you a question? May I ask you a question? The three of them stop, says, yeah, what is it? I said, if God could do one miracle for you right now, what would you ask him to do for you? And anyway, so we got into this conversation and the man with the crutch said, I know I should not be alive today, right? I should not be alive. And I began, we were just having a conversation. I'll tell you the miracle question in a while, but we're having a conversation. And I began to share about the healing power of Jesus. And the two other guys, the friends of his, looked terrified. They looked terrified. Because I knew God's presence was there and God was speaking to this man with the crutch. But the two friends looked terrified and they left him. They abandoned him and they shot off. And because we were doing healing on the streets, he said, I'll come and sit on your chair. So he hobbled with his crutch over to the chair and he began to tell me the story. He said, you know, I know that I shouldn't be alive. I fell off a very high roof. I landed on my left-hand side. I broke nearly every bone in my body on the left-hand side. He said, all my ribs on the left-hand side here were broken. I have extreme pain now in the back of my ribs. He said, I landed on my elbows completely shattered. It's pinned with metal. I have pain there. This is as far as I can bend my arm. And he went like that. He couldn't do this. This was impossible. Impossible for him. He said, this is as far as it will go. That's the extent of his movement in his elbow now. He said, I landed, my hip was broken in several pieces. And he pulled up his trouser leg to show a couple of holes in his leg where they'd put some kind of steel frame, they'd put rods into his bone or something, to mobilize his leg while they rebuilt his hip. Okay. He says, I have so much pain in my hip, I can't walk properly. He said, when I land on the ground, my chin hit the ground and it came away from it broke in three pieces. The chin came away from my mouth, lower part, in two pieces. He pulled down his lip like that, and you can see it split from his teeth here, right the way down there. It broke down here, and it broke here, away from his mouth. Okay, imagine that. He said, I'm growing a beard, because from here down, I have no feeling. I'm afraid to shave. It's like, you know when you've been to a dentist and you've had an injection? Remember that? Said, I have no feeling down the lower part of my lip. I said, wow, you really need a miracle. I said, look, there's so many things wrong with you. Can we start from the top and work way down in prayer? Said, yes. So, and if I forget anything, just remind me. So we start from the top, began to pray, taking authority of every single thing. All the way down. I said, okay, check it out. First thing he did was this. He goes, wow. He says, how can I do that? I shouldn't be able to do that.
Come on.
Wow. How can I do that? He said. And he checks his, he says, the pain is gone. Wow. Praise God.
Yeah.
And he's almost afraid to touch his mouth. And he goes, I can feel the feelings returned.
Yeah.
I'm getting excited.
Yeah. Amen.
I said, try walking. He gets up and he walks and he goes, oh, still have some pain there. So sit down. Pray for him a second time. Try that. This time completely healed.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Right.
Praise God. Yeah. Jesus. So I said, can I ask you one more question? What do you think would be the greatest miracle God could do for you apart from complete healing you of your body? The greatest miracle he could do for you. Says, don't know. Trying to think. Don't know. So can I share with you what I believe it is? Yeah, what is it? I actually think God's already done it for you. But it's in the form of a gift. But it's a very precious and it's a costly gift. And what do you think it is? Can anyone quote some scriptures regarding the gift?
Gift of God, eternal life. Wages of sin.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Who's got another scripture?
John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes. But that is beautiful, but mentions the gift. The gift. Anyone else? Okay, let me tell you, for it is by grace we have been saved, through faith. And this is not of ourselves, it is what? The
gift of God.
So that no one should boast. Right? How about this one? Do you remember when Jesus having a little conversation with a particular woman at a well, and he wants a drink of water? So they're having this discussion, she's a Samaritan. Well, you know the story. It's a beautiful story. And then he said to her, if you knew the gift of God,
come on,
and who it is that asked you for it, you would have asked him, and he would have given you this living water that sort of like springs up into eternal life.
Yeah.
So I said to him, this, God has already done it for you. And he has? Yeah. It's a form of a gift. But it's a very precious and it's a costly gift. And the free gift of God for you is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Have you ever received that gift? I said, do you know what I mean by that? You mean like when I should have died? And in that next moment, that I'd be with God in heaven. Yes, that gift. Have you ever received that gift? And he said, no, I haven't. I said, I've got good news for you. And this is where the gospel comes in.
Mm.
Now you can share the gospel. Mm. When you've found that they don't know, they've never received this, and they don't have a relationship with God, I've got good news for you. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to purchase this gift for you. And the reason why it's so precious and costly is because it costs him everything. He had to die on the cross and he had to pay for with his blood in order to bring you to God. Because, you know, God wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. He wants a relationship with you. And God is a holy God. And heaven is totally unpolluted. God cannot allow one drop of pollution into heaven because it would pollute the whole of heaven. And would you agree that we are polluted? And this world is polluted. Our lives are polluted. But yes. He loves you so much. He wants you to spend the whole of eternity with him, but he wants a relationship with you as well. And Jesus did this in order to bring you to God. So Jesus died on the cross for our brokenness, for our shame, for our guilt, for the pollution in life, which the Bible calls sin. It separates us from God, keeps us away from knowing him, keeps us away from a relationship with God, keeps us from following him. And ultimately, stops us from spending the whole of eternity with him in a place that is so pure, where there's no sickness, no pain, no suffering. Because, you know, this body doesn't last very long. I say, I'm past the halfway mark. And the scary thing is, it's gone like this. You know, when you remember when you're 4 year old to now, how time flies. And if God would bless me with, you know, the second half of my life, the same length, and it goes as quick. The next thing I know, I'd be taking my last breath from this earth. But I know, because I've received this wonderful gift of Jesus, I would be in with God in heaven, spending the rest of eternity with him. And so Jesus paid with his blood in order to get you to God. On the third day, God raised Jesus back to life. And now he can offer you not just the gift of eternal life, but life in all its fullness. He's offering forgiveness of our sins that separate us from God. So he stands right now at the door of your heart. And this, you know, I quote that verse of scripture from Revelation 3:20, where Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone, doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, should hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with them and then with me." And that whole picture of Jesus knocking the door, wanting to come in and eat with you, is a picture of a God who loves you, who wants a relationship with you. And I said, if Jesus was here right now knocking on the door of your heart, would you open the door and invite him in? Would you turn and begin to follow him? Would you allow him in? He wants to give you life, not just eternal life, but life in all its fullness now. And he said yes. So I began to lead him in a prayer. I explained a little bit more what that relationship was like. I led him in a prayer. And when he walked away with a crutch under his arm and a spring in his step. Amazing. Amazing. So the first question is, and if you memorize this, just to help you, and this is great because, honestly, you know, as you're driving a car and you stall it, don't worry about it. Just keep going. Just start the engine and keep going. But learn those questions. And what you'll find is this. You'll start to pray for people like you've never prayed before. And you'll pray for everything and anything. And I'm going to cover that just quickly. So the first question is, if God could do a miracle in your life today, what would you ask him to do for you? Or to paraphrase that, if God could answer one prayer for you personally, nothing like world peace or anything like that, but for you personally, what would you ask him to do for you? Now, that prayer is designed to find some area of their life where you can pray a prayer of faith and believe that God is going to begin to, as you pray that prayer, work in that person's heart. Because when you pray, it reveals something about God, about your God. So when I pray, my prayers reveal a God of love. Amen. a God of power. I pray I'm intentional. I pray of conviction when I pray. And it doesn't matter what it is they've asked me to pray for. In that prayer, I weave into that prayer what God thinks of that person. So I tell them how much God loves them. I weave it into the prayer. Doesn't matter who it is. I weave into the prayer that God loves them. And then I begin to pray my best prayer, a prayer of faith, really believing. Because the thing is this, it's called the miracle question. If you don't believe in a God of miracles, you're gonna have a problem.
Amen.
And there are people that need a miracle in their lives.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for example, one man, I said, if God could do one miracle for you right now, what would you ask him to do for you? If you could answer one prayer, so that's easy. Said, 4 months ago, I had a disagreement with my daughter. She walked out of the house. I haven't seen her since. I don't know how to contact her. I'm concerned for her. I'm really worried. And I would ask God that I would be able to see my daughter. Mm-hmm. I'd get in contact somehow. I said, can I just pray for you quickly? So when they share with you, I don't like, you know, waffle. I say, can I just quickly pray for you? When you offer to pray, you don't have to lay hands. The great thing about this, you know, it could be two people having a conversation in the street. Nobody else would know. Don't look religious. Don't have to lay hands on them. Yeah. And you can pray your best prayer. And it's like two people standing in the street having a conversation. So I began to pray my best prayer that this man and his daughter be reunited. But as I'm praying, now here's the thing. Many times, for me, the gifts of the Spirit flow when I'm praying for a person and my heart is connecting with theirs and I'm feeling compassionate about them. I'm thinking this shouldn't be, where a father and a daughter have had a disagreement and they're separated. That's not right.
Mm.
So I'm feeling that. I'm thinking, oh, God, you, please come and touch that. And I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and I just sense the Holy Spirit saying something. And I said, I stopped, and I said, you know, I feel that God is wanting to communicate something. This is what I feel. I might be wrong.
Okay.
But this is what I feel God is wanting to say, that by next weekend, you will be reunited with your daughter.
Wow.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
He said to me, that's really significant because next weekend is my daughter's birthday. And I've been saying to myself, I really hope I see her somehow connect with her before next weekend. I said, okay, let's pray. And inside I'm going, oh, Lord, please, you've got to answer this prayer. I'm desperate. I can't, you know, I've just spoken something like really major in this man's life. Please, God, you've got to, that's the cry in my heart, honestly. So I'm praying my best faith-filled prayer, okay? It may have been slightly panic-stricken, but I prayed my best faith-filled prayer. That was on a Saturday. I received an email on a Monday from one of the team who was with me when we prayed for this man. He said, Mark, I've just heard from this man. This was in the afternoon. I've just heard from this man. So you're never going to believe it. I will.
Yeah.
Said this morning, his daughter got in contact with him. And midweek, they're going to meet together. They're going to go out for a meal together. They're being reunited. And that man gave his life to Jesus.
Amen.
He opened his heart to Jesus. Because now he believes in God. He believes this is a specific prayer. This is what happened.
Hallelujah.
We've seen like amazing things. You're looking to show the kindness of God, the love of God. While you're praying, the Holy Spirit can so impact that person's life.
Mm.
Whether that prayer is answered then or not, right there or not. But when you've prayed, it opens a way to then go into the next quote, the third question, and present the gospel. Okay? you're more likely to have their attention once you've prayed, once they've experienced it. Some people can't, you know, gosh, the amount of times we've prayed, I'll share a couple of things. Here's a really cool one. So I see this couple and I say, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Stop. They say, yes. What is it? If God could do one miracle in your life today, what would you ask him to do for you? I didn't know the relationship between the two, but they were brother. It turns out they're brother and sister. The brother said, well, you know, I believe in God. I don't have a relationship with him, but I believe in God. And he gave me something I could pray for him for. But the sister was an atheist. And not only was she an atheist, she was angry with me. You ever met an angry atheist? No, you don't meet them around here.
Oh yeah.
We do.
Angry.
Yeah.
And she was so angry, she started firing like 100 questions at me, and she was angry with me. And I looked at her and I thought, Lord, and again I thought, God, Lord, all I could see, Jesus was showing me how much he loved this woman. Now, honestly, in the past, I would have gone, okay, let's move on quick. We'll move on. Let's just leave this and go on. But what the Lord was showing me was how much he loved this woman. When you see someone who's angry, what God was showing me, how much she'd been hurt in her life. She'd been badly hurt. And I felt compassion for her. I said, God, you've changed me. You've really changed me. And so what we do with the miracle question is like you're driving. Remember, here's the markers on the road. You're driving. The object is to go as far as you possibly can go. Right? And as long as there are no stop signs, you're going to keep going. Now, somebody may not agree with you. They may not believe what you're saying. They are not stop signs. If somebody says to you, get lost, don't talk to me anymore, that's a stop sign. Okay? They don't want to converse with you anymore. Go away. All right? That's a stop sign. But no stop sign. She's just angry with me. And I realized it was impossible to answer any question because if you try and answer one question, she's just fired at you. She's not going to listen to your answer anyway. She's going to fire off another three while you're trying to answer that one. And it's just impossible to, you know, and I knew that I was in an impossible situation. Human wisdom is not, I cannot answer her questions. It's impossible for me to answer her questions. So I'm driving, I'm thinking, well, Lord, there's no stop signs. So now I'm going to teach you one of the best prayers I've ever learned. I'm going to teach you, you need to learn this. It's really important. It's a simple one, and it goes like this. Help. If you missed it, I'll do it over this side. Right, over here if you missed it. It's a great prayer to pray. You ask the Lord, I'm going, Lord, there's no stop signs. I'm going, Lord, but help. Holy Spirit, help. I will clutch at any straw, literally, anything. I can say, God, anything. Give me something, Lord, give me something. And I saw a straw floating by. I grabbed it. I said, one of you has a painful back. Who is it? The brother smiled and said, she has got a trapped nerve in her back. And I went, brilliant. Praise God. I thought, this has got to be it. So I said, listen, see that bench, granite bench? Would you mind going and sitting over there and let me pray for you? I've seen so many people healed on that bench when we pray for them, because I believe Jesus wants to show you that he's alive, he's real, he wants to communicate with you right now. She went, nope, not going over there, don't believe it. And even if I did go over there, nothing's going to happen. But remember, she's in total unbelief. Okay, so oh, great. It's going down the road. Now I'm going to teach you my second best prayer. It goes like this. Help. Lord, help. think, what do? Suddenly a thought came to me. It's another story, just a fleeting thought, a straw. For some reason, I start to share this story. The story is about this up-and-coming boxer in Northern Ireland, right? It's just totally random. But this is what happened. He was an up-and-coming boxer in Northern Ireland. He has a car accident. His leg is bust. Puts an end to his career. This man was seen to be going around town with a chip on his shoulder. There was an air of violence around him. He would walk around town with his, you know, his like hair's cropped like this, a little, and it's dyed, and he's has this air of violence, and he'd go around, fist clenched. He's a boxer, remember? Fist clenched, and he'd be walking down the street and be going with the look that says, if you just even glance at me, I'll knock you out. And then he appears in our gym. We thought, Lord, you're after this. We're gonna get this one for your kingdom. We're after this man, Lord.
Come on.
Right? So the moment we start talking about Jesus, he runs off. He's like scared. Then one day in town, we corner him. And we find out about his, we find out about his injured leg. He sits on this granite bench that we're talking about outside the town hall. And we go over to pray for him. And so he's sitting down and he said, what's the problem? So he has this condition called drop foot. Anyone know what that is? Mm-hmm. Well, what he can't do is he can't lift his foot up. He can't do that. That's impossible for him to do. Yeah. And that's what put an end to his career. He had a screw in his knee. Can't do that. So I said, sit back so he said, no, it's my, you know, I have this problem with my foot. He goes, he's a really rough guy. So I said, sit back. He says, give me your legs. Bring your legs up. Brought his legs up. So can you see one leg short and the other? He says, no, that's not the problem. He goes, I said, no, I know. He said, but that's not the problem. I said, just calm down. Calm down. I pray his leg grows out. He says, but that's not the problem. What I can't do is this. His foot comes off the ground. He jumps to his feet, swearing, right, in town. Seemed to happen a lot in town. So lots of swear words flying. Everyone's going, whoa, what's going on there? Some violence or something. I said, so Jesus healed you. He says, I haven't been able to do that in 6 years. It's not complete. I said, why not? He said, there's not full motion, but I've not been able to do that in 6 years. I said, hold on a sec. Touch his foot. Try that. His foot comes right up. He swears out loud again. And now this boxer starts bear hugging me. He's bear hugging me in the street, right? Won't let go. He gives his life to Jesus. But the thing is this. I'm telling the story. The brother says, I know that man. I heard his story. He turns to his sister. You have got to sit on that bench. Right? Honestly, that's what happened. So the brother coaxes his sister to sit, and reluctantly she goes and sits on the bench. She sits there. I said, sit back. Bring your legs out. Look. I said, can you see one of your legs is shorter than the other? She went, no, it's not. The brother says, your leg is shorter. She went, no. So I said, okay. Let me just pray. Just watch. He said, brother, watch. Watch. Starts to pray. Her leg starts to grow out. The brother said, your leg's growing out. She said, no, it's not. He's pulling my leg. He's pulling my leg, right? So the leg grows out. I said, try it out. She gets up. She refuses to admit anything's happened to her. She refuses to admit everything's happened to her. And so I'm still driving the road. No stop sign. Still driving down the road. I'm going, Lord, help. God. And then we're in conversation. And then she offers this information that she's about 29 years of age. And she suffers. She said that she was suffering with arthritis. I thought, ah. Now she's offered me this information. I said, could I pray for you that Jesus will also heal you of your arthritis? And she doesn't argue with me. I take hold of her hand. So may I just take hold of your hand? I take hold of my hand. I begin to pray my best prayer, taking authority over arthritis, command the arthritis to go. And as I'm praying for her, now the Lord speaks. But it took up to that point. I felt awkward. I felt like I was totally lost. I didn't know what. I was just saying, I'm sticking on the road here, Lord. I need your help, Holy Spirit. And up until that time, I had nothing apart from maybe an inkling of like back pain. And I stopped and I said, you know, I just felt that Jesus was showing me something about your life. I said, do you mind if I share it with you? What? She went, what? What? She says, have you suffered with night terrors? And I use the word night terrors since a very young age. Who told you that? How do you know that? I said, Jesus, I'm trying to communicate with you that Jesus is here. He's alive. He knows everything about you. He loves you and he cares for you. And there's a reason why he's showing me this. He said, he wants you to be free of these night terrors. She said to me, I've suffered with these night terrors so badly that I've had to go to the doctor. I've had to go to hospital because of these night terrors. I said, Jesus knows everything about you and he wants to set you free. She looked me in the eyes. She said, if that's true, tell me what happened to me. Right? Until that moment, I had nothing. Honestly, I had nothing. And the moment she said, tell me what happened to me, instantly I replied, a man tried to murder you as a young girl. And she nearly fell over in shock. How do you know that? And with that, I began to share the gospel. Wow. Now she listens. Now she listens. I said, if Jesus was here knocking the door of your heart, would you open the door and invite God into your life? Would you turn? Would you change your thinking about all those things you thought before and receive him into your life? Spoke about walking with God, walking with Jesus, living life with him in close relationship. And she went, yes. I led her line by line in a prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I open the door of my heart to you. I open the door of my heart to you. I invite you to come into my life. I invite you to come into my life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. I led her in that prayer. Now I said to her, now I'm going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I prayed, the Holy Spirit came on her. Her knees began to knot like this. And she went, please, enough, enough. This woman went from being an atheist to a follower of Jesus in 40 yeah. minutes. In Amen. 40 minutes. You know what that shows me? You know what it shows me? Shows me this. That a town in unbelief can turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That a city in unbelief can turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That a nation in unbelief can turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But what it needs is a demonstration of the power of God of people who are bold enough, even though they feel they're going to mess up and make a real, which I thought I was going to be the case. And I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
So I want to tell you, I want to encourage you that. So the first question is designed to find some area that you could pray your best prayer. Could be for anything, could be for a job. Person's concerned about something, there's some concern in family, or could be any, could be pray for anything. Okay, what do you do when they pray for, like, well, I want to win the lottery, which you'll get a lot of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you've got to do is this. Don't let anything they say put you off.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, can I pray for you? But then you've always got to pray from God's perspective. What would God want to do? So, Father, I pray for financial stability, a better job, a pay increase. Lord, they're concerned about their family, you know. And I pray for that. I pray that their trust would be in you. Right? Pray from God's perspective. How about they say, my brother dies in a car accident 6 months ago. I want him back. What are you going to, how would you, what would you do there? Someone said that. Anybody? Oh, it's a tough one, isn't it? So God's perspective. So this man is obviously grieving for his brother. I would say, can I pray for you? Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to bring his brother back 6 months. But I would just say, can I pray for you? Sure. So, Father, you're the God of all comfort. And this man is grieving for his brother. And I pray that you put your arms of love around him. You're close to the brokenhearted. And you save those who are crushed in spirit. Would you come and help him through this grieving process? Would you come and be with him, be close to him? And you pray your best prayer. What do you think? And ask the Lord, as you're praying, what do you want to speak into this man's life? You know, because obviously he's grieving, he's hurting. So you're there to minister. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And you can speak. And honestly, I see people melt under prayers. Mm. They've never had people consider, and I reveal the love of God. They begin to weep. Mm. They begin to weep under the presence of God. That when you share the gospel, it's like, do you know, there was times I'd be and then I came to the third question. So I pray my best prayer. And straight away, I go to the next question. Can I ask you one more question? Sure, what is it? What do you think would be the greatest miracle God could ever do for you? And let them answer a few things. And say, well, actually, they're all good. Those are good things. Some might say, well, my children would be the greatest miracle. So their children are a miracle from God. Mm-hmm. But there's something for you personally, something even greater. And I actually believe God has already done it for you. Can I share it with you? Yes, what is it? And share the gospel. It's in the form of a gift. And it's a very precious and costly gift. And the free gift of God for you is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Have you ever received this gift? No, I haven't. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, that, yeah, when you've come to the end of your life. Yes. But it's more than that. Share the gospel. And then say, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to purchase this gift. And the reason why it's so precious and costly is because it costs him everything. He had to die on a cross and pay with his blood in order to bring us to God. Jesus died on the cross for our brokenness, our shame, our guilt, the pollution in our life, which the Bible calls sin, that separates us from God, stops us having a relationship with him, walking with him, knowing him. And he wants not just to give you eternal life, but life in all its fullness. And I share that. So on the third day, God raised Jesus back to life, and now he can offer you forgiveness of sins that separates you from God. And if you will turn and follow him, he will release the gift of life to you and give you life in all its fullness. He's here knocking on the door of your heart right now. Would you open up your life to him and allow him in? And sometimes I use, if you go to Google Light of the World, Sir Holman Hunt, there's a great photograph on there. And in fact, if you go to St. Paul's, and there's one link, says St. Paul's Cathedral, Holman Hunt, there's a whole story behind the painting of Jesus, the Light of the World. It's that painting there. And sometimes I use it. It's a really good tool to use. Is that one there? Mm-hmm. I download it on my phone. And sometimes I use that as a tool. And it's a great picture, and there's a great story behind that. When Sir Holman painted that painting and unveiled it, I think it was 1850. It's a story, you know, Jesus, the light of the world. He's knocking on the door. It's covered with weeds. So the door hasn't been opened in a long time. But when he unveiled that painting, the public said, Holman, it's a beautiful painting, but there's something missing from that door that every door has and needs, but that door doesn't have. Can you see what's missing? And I asked the people looking at it, can you see what's missing? And they go, there's no
handle.
There's no handle. And I said, that's right. You're very sharp. There's no handle. And the reason why there's no handle, and he said, yeah, there's one in Oxford. There's one in the chapel in Oxford. And there's another one in Manchester. There's a couple of other copies. This one's in Paul's Cathedral. I've seen it. It's a big one. It's a big painting. You should go and see it. It's lovely. And he didn't answer their question for a long time because the conversation was going, why did Holman Hunt forget to paint a door handle on the door? But then he explained, the door represents a life and a mind that's been close to God for a long time. See, night is coming, but Jesus has been patiently waiting and knocking. But he can't, you know, night's coming, meaning that time is running out. The door handle is on the inside. And only the person on the other side of the door can open that door to Jesus. There are people who pray to God, but they know it's like praying through a door, but have no relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, if you will open a door, I will come in and eat with you. And eating is a relational thing, not religion. It's relational. You come in and you eat with your friends and family, loved ones. Yeah. If he was here right now, knocking the door of your heart, would you open your heart to him and allow me? Yes, I would. Time's going. I want to share just a couple more stories. So when I was doing this in Corinth, we saw so many people open their hearts up to Jesus. It was amazing. The most incredible things. I mean, I remember there was a, sounds like the beginning of a joke. There was a French girl, a Spanish girl, and a German girl. Sounds like the beginning of a joke. They were coming towards me. I said, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Sure, what is it? If God could do a miracle for you, what would you ask him to do for you? So the Spanish girl and the German girl had shared something with me. I said, can I just quickly pray for you? I prayed. I went to the third question. As I went to the third question, the French girl said, it's okay, we don't want to hear this. She was speaking for the other two. But the Spanish girl said, no, I need to hear this. And the German goes, I need to hear this as well. The French girl said, really? Yeah, so she stood to one side, and I began to share. I shared the gospel, right? And I said, Jesus is here right now. Would you open the door? The Spanish girl said, yes. I led her into a relationship with Jesus. The German girl said, can I do this when I go home? I said, absolutely. You know what to do? They left, and I was going, praise God. A 69-year-old man was sitting behind me on one of those granite benches. He got up, he came to me, he says, can you now do to me what you've just done with that? He heard the gospel. He didn't know Jesus. He wanted to receive Jesus. So these are the kind of things that were happening in Coleraine. Amazing. So many stories, hundreds of stories. I thought, Lord, is this regional or, you know, is it just this for this region? Can it happen anyway? So I went to Stockholm. And I was told that people there are very cerebral. It's very difficult to lead people to Jesus in Stockholm. This is a great place. There was a school of supernatural ministry there. Asked me to come and to teach one morning. So I went and I taught them the miracle question. I know time's gone. I taught them the miracle question really quickly. I thought, let's go and see if it works in Stockholm. Okay, this is going to be the test. So we went up. We went out to a place where they actually do healing on the streets. They do healing on the streets in Stockholm. And I knew this area, and I knew this is where they did it. So God's presence is here. We already have had people standing here and praying for this. So I stood there. And so there's, you know, these students are there, and they're like, okay, let's see what Mark does. I see these 10 guys walking towards me. 10 of them, right? And I don't know what they feed them in Sweden. But these 25-year-olds were like up there. I mean, the height of Dom. Right? They were really tall, 10 of them. And I'm going, remember I'm a shy introvert. So I was looking, I was going, shall I or shan't I? Shall I or shan't I? You know, I mean, it was like, it would be so easy to let them go. And I thought, well, I'm in Stockholm, you know, come on. So I said, hey guys, could I ask you a question? I'm hoping they speak English. Suddenly I'm surrounded by 10 of them. What is it? If God could do a miracle in your life right now, what would you ask him to do for you? The guy over here said, that's a big question. I said, I know, but you know, if he could answer one prayer for you personally, I mean, not world peace or something like that, but for you personally, what would you ask him to do for you? So trying to be methodical, because there's 10 of them there, and I was trying to be quick. I said, what about you? Started from this set. What about you? He said, I don't know. So what about you? If you could ask him anything, you know, I don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. What about you? Don't know. When I got to the fifth guy, I was praying my best prayer. You know, the help one? I said, God, please, please, Lord, this is just so embarrassing. So you, no. So no, you. I got to the ninth guy, he said, I've got a painful back. I said, really? I thought, praise God. Can I just quickly pray? Sure. I didn't change my stance. Didn't start to get in a religious, I didn't close my eyes. I said, can I quickly pray for you? Sure. Father, thank you. You love this man so much. You care for him and he's precious to you, God. Would you just show him your love right now? Would you just reveal your love in his innermost being? I take authority over this back pain. I command the back pain to go. I release the oil of heaven. I release flexibility, mobility, and freedom. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Okay, how long did that take? A prayer as quick as that. Because there's 10 guys here. I've got to be quick. I said, check it out. He goes, he looks at his friends, so the pain's gone. They go to him, really? So they're grilling him. The friends are grilling him, and he's telling him, no. My back's... I said, guys, I know you're in a hurry. Can I ask you one more question? Sure, what is it? If what do you think would be the greatest miracle God could ever do for you? Guy over here says, that's another big question. I said, no, it is. I'm sorry. It's a big question. What do you think it would be? They start throwing some answers back to me, what they think is the greatest miracle. I said, well, they're great answers, but it's not actually the greatest miracle God could do for you. Can I share what I believe it is? Yeah, what is it? I believe God's already done it for you. It's in the form of a gift. It's a very precious and costly gift. The free gift of God for you is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Have you ever received that gift? Do you know what I mean by that? You mean when we die? Yes. Have you received it? No. Have you? 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 No. Got to seventh guy. What, none of you guys? I've got great news for you. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to purchase this gift. And the reason why it's so precious and costly is because it cost him everything. He had to die on a cross. He paid with his blood. And he paid for our brokenness, our shame, our guilt. I went through the whole thing. And I shared what it meant to be in relationship with God. What it meant to walk with him. And I said, now I want to ask you another question. I said, Jesus is here right now and he wants a relationship with you, but you've got to turn from where you've been going and follow him. And if you're willing to open your life up to him and follow him, would you please take a step forward? If you do not want to follow Jesus, or you're not sure, you're not ready, please step back. A group step forward. A group stepped back. One man stood there staring at me like a rabbit caught in headlights. I looked him in the eye and said, what about you? I said, no pressure. But if you're not ready, step back. He stepped forward. Five had stepped forward. Five had stepped back. The five that stepped forward bowed their heads and I led them into relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
I prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. They're shaking. I love the way the power of the Spirit comes when you just lead them to Jesus. Like when they left, I was on a high. I see two women coming towards me. I stopped straight away, straight after them. Excuse me, can I ask you a question? Yeah, what is it? If God could do a miracle for you right now, what would you ask him to do for you? The woman on the right gave me something I could pray for. The woman on the left said, I'm an atheist. I said, that's not a problem. Could I just pray for you? Right? So it wasn't a problem that she said she was an atheist. The one on the right said, can I just pray for you? So I began to pray with her. And as I was praying for her, now I'm listening to the Lord, and I hear the Lord tell me something about it. So I said, can I just share something with you? I feel that God has shown me something about your life, but it's really personal. It's really personal. Would you mind if I share? Because I know you have your friends here. She went, okay, what is it? I said, if I'm wrong, which I can be wrong, would you forgive me? She went, okay. I said, do you self-harm? She said, how do you know that? I said, well, the reason why Jesus has shown me this is because he wants to heal you, not just the external scars, but the inner scars. He wants to bring healing into your life. Could I please pray for you that he does that? She says, yes. Now, I'm allowing the atheist to listen into our conversation. I'm concentrating on the one who's open. So I pray my best prayer for her. And the Lord is really touching her life. You know, we see self-harm scars dissolve away. I have it on my phone. Incredible miracle of healing. And I was really believing that God's going to touch her and bring healing into innermost being. Then I said, can I ask you one more question? What do you think would be the greatest miracle God could do for you apart from healing your scars and the pain in your heart and the other things that went on that God has shown me about? What do you think? And then I shared the gospel with her. I said, Jesus is here standing and knocking the door of your heart. Would you open the door and invite him in? She went, yes. So I led her into a relationship with Jesus. I pray for the power of the Spirit to fall on her. She begins to shake under the power of the Spirit. I finished praying for her. I turned to the atheist. I said, can I ask you a question? She went, yes. I said, if Jesus could do one miracle for you right now, what would you ask him to do for you? And she said, well, I suffer with insomnia, but it's linked to an anxiety problem that I have. I said, could I pray for you also that Jesus would set you free? She went, yes, please. So that's it in a nutshell. It's a start for you to get praying for people. Just ask the question. And allow the Holy Spirit. And don't worry if you stall the car. You're going to be stalling the car, kangarooing it. Give it a go. And I want to say that if you're intentional, don't worry. Don't be afraid of how they look, of how someone looks. Don't be afraid to be bold and ask the question. And then pray your best prayer that God would answer the prayer of their heart, whatever is happening, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And then after that, share the gospel and lead them to Jesus. Okay? Is that okay? Well, sorry about time.
No, it's great. But really good time.
Right.
What I'd love to do is yeah, we can.
Yeah, I would love to do.
Yeah, I would say what we could do is, what I think we'll do is put a bit of worship on, just to allow that word to settle in our hearts. Really respond to the Lord first of all. I don't know about you, but I feel like so tooled up after today. You know what I mean? I just feel like my toolbox, whatever you want to call it, is just exploding with different things. And then it's just what I've loved about listening to Mark and his story is just the way in which I can see him ministering, that gentleness, that kindness, that humility. That even if you get nothing right prophetically, it's just going to bless people so much. There's so much freedom to take risks and to make mistakes, particularly if you've got that posture. And those help prayers are going to work. You know, whether you're Benny Hinn, Sean Bolts, or whoever, you know, it doesn't matter. The help comes to us all. And, so I just think it'd be great to just, if we can all stand, and I just want to give you room to respond to the Lord. You know, just let's kind of do business with the Father and ask him for stuff in response. And then at the same time, what I want to do is to have different rows come forward, if you like, and we're going to lay hands on you and bless you. Romans 1 talks about imparting gifts with the laying on of hands. And we're just going to... the prayer is to the Father. You're asking him for something, and we're going to be amening that. But I want... just encourage us, focus to be on Him, and then we're going to be praying for you. And if Sarah and Dylan can come up, and they're now doing ministry things as well. And we're just going to, all of you, we're going to go through laying hands on all of you, and imparting as much as possible. Sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
So Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are the one in us, around us. You and the earth, Jesus and the Father are up in heaven. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and meet us, Lord. Equip us. But I pray for a transference of gifting right now, an anointing, a fresh anointing, a fresh wind, Lord.
Thank you.
Well, we can just have the second row come up, and if you've been, if you've received, just to go back.
Oh, shit.
You are able to be a catcher if you've already been on the radio. We'd love you to be a catcher.
Oh, it's good.